Well, I went through the 7 days of creation in synthesis, and I was studying that, and I said, Lauren, I just feel like it's the other thing, so you're just going to have to lead me. And he did. He just showed me that the 7 days of creation, I'm going to tell you, nothing would have happened if God had not spoke. We have to hear the words of God. That's when you're going to see change. And God began to speak, and in the beginning was God, and God spoke. And I love that. We can go over there real quick, but we're not going to stay there. Genesis 1. And I know these are types and shadows. So just so you know that, this is a type of our life when God gets a hold of us and he begins to speak that light in our heart and we begin to change. But I tell you what, you can go to Paul's gospel. Every time I read this, I hear Paul's gospel, because it was hidden in the Old Testament and it's revealed in the New. So in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And I don't even know if I heard it in class, but I know the Holy Spirit said it to me. It said God. God was there, the very presence of God. God has always been, God always will be, and God is the supreme authority, but God created. So that very presence of God, he was the creator. He was the very one who created everything. It said he created the heaven, he created the earth. And then in between that verse, something happened. I believe it was a fall, and there was judgment. And the earth was without form, void, darkness on the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And you can look this up later, Isaiah 14:14, that's the fall of Satan when he said, I will be like the Most High God. But he wanted to take that place. And if you keep going, why was it dark and why was it without form? All these different things, but we have to see that in our life, that without God, I'm void, I'm empty. I may have lots of things. There may be a lot of things going on in our life, but without God in our heart, we are void, we are empty. Everything we could ever do would be vain. There's nothing there. It was void, but God never made heaven and earth that way. You can read that in Isaiah 45:18, I believe. You can go over there and read. It was formed to be inhabited. God didn't make all these things, but this says it's empty. It's void. Darkness is on the face of the deep. But why we're going here is to show the importance of God's word. And we'll see that in our the word of God today, how if God had not spoke the word, there would have been no change. A lot of people come into this very first day, and that's as far as they go with the Lord. And God said, get these things, because I don't believe it's in the book of Genesis by Copley's. I think it says it was good. But you just go in, and that's not to put them down. That's to say, study to show yourselves approved. Go in the word of God. Jean taught me this. Go in the word of God, study it for yourself, then get out the Copley's books or whatever and begin to read or see someone's interpretation. Of course, because God, if it's anointed, God is going to use what they said to increase it. But in that time, I was excited. I go, oh, I got to go see if it was written in there. And it wasn't. But that doesn't mean it's wrong, because I can show you in the word of God that it's right. In verse 3, God said, let there be light. And there was light. But the next verse, and you're going to see this all the way through the creation time, God saw it. God saw the light, that it was good. But what did he say? He saw the light. He didn't just say it was good. He saw it was good. The manifestation of the word of God. His word showing its power, its authority, its ability to do what it was sent out to do. And he said, God saw that light. He is the light. In him is no darkness at all. But remember, in our life, my heart, We are no longer children of darkness kingdom. We are children of light now. We come in, God spoke that light, put it in our heart. And now, are we going to stop there? Or are we going to let God continue to finish? God saw the light, that it was good. And God did something else. Now that the light's there, he's dividing the light from the darkness. God does bring division. God does divide error from truth, darkness from light. We are in the kingdom of light today. God called the light day and the darkness he called night. The evening and the morning were the first day. But if you keep going, you're going to see each day, the second day is from 6 to 8, but God said. And then when you keep going, God called the firmament. You've got to keep reading those words. And when you go down, God said for something to happen, you're going to see that he saw. God saw. Even when it come down to the fruitful bearing of seed and bringing forth fruit in their lives, God saw that it was good. Why? Because God said it. God says it and brings it forth. We have to believe these things in our life. And you keep going and you're going to get down to the crowning work. And that was my favorite part, because as I began to listen and study these, it was the crowning work was, it was done. It's done. And that, if you remember in Romans 7, what did Paul say? And please don't forget, Paul had been in the ministry. Paul came to Romans chapter 7, and he said, the things that I want to do, those are not the things that I do. He's caught between those two natures. They're warring against each other. It's two different things, manner of life. It's in the flesh will bring forth flesh. The spirit will bring forth spirit and life and victory. Well, he said, I'm caught. He said, who's going to deliver me? Who will be my deliverer from this body of death? Who's going to deliver me? Thank God. See, thank God. It's going to be, it is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the deliverer. He has not only delivered me from the penalty, but he's delivering me right now from the power of sin. And then he's delivering us out of the very presence of sin. And we are going home to be with him. When you get down to that crowning work, I thought of how many times Paul said, I have learned in whatever state I am to be therewith content. We need to be content. He learned all these things. If you go in 2 Timothy 4, you'll see where he said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. And I have finished the course that I've been given. Each one of us have a course in this life. And God said, your time is in my hands. When it's time to come home, you're coming home. He's finishing it. But when you get to the crowning work and you begin to study the word of God, you see now it's there. It's finished. It's perfected. It's made whole. It's without a void, without a blemish, without blame. It's time to put it on exhibit, to manifest all that God has done in this change. Well, I went over, I didn't even know this was in the scripture. I went over to Isaiah chapter 30. I had seen it in Paul's gospel, which is what we go by today, but we also see him in the old. But as I began to look at this in chapter 30, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord. Why are they rebellious? Well, you're going to find out. That take counsel, but it's not of me. They're not asking God anything. They'll get counsel from this person and that person, but they better be showing them in the word of God, word for word, what it says. Take counsel, but it's not of me. They have a cover. They cover with a covering, but it's not of me. There are a lot of people who say, I'm saved, and they're just covered in self-righteousness. And you always, I can hear self-righteousness when they say, well, I don't know why they do that. Or they got what they deserve. That's self as self can be. Because you got, did you get what you deserved? No. You got God's grace. He gave it to you. He brought you through. That's what we're magnifying today, because we have sought counsel. And you'll see where we've been made low. We've come to the humble place that I know my need. And he said, but it's not of me. And he said, they might have a covering, but it's not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Now remember, the Lord is talking. He also corrects us, chastens us, because he wants peace in our life. He wants us to accept Jesus, the only way there is, the only true way of peace, the only true way of any fruit in our lives. It has the seed, and we bring forth from that seed of its kind. They walk, oh, not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Even if you lie, you're going to have to tell another lie to cover that lie and another lie for that lie. They walk to go down. Look where their walk is. I know people say we don't have to walk. You do have to walk. You're either going to walk in the wrong direction or you're going to walk in the right direction. And I don't know anybody who knows the right way unless the Lord showed it to you. So when he does, that's God's grace. That's enabling of the power of the Holy Ghost. They walk down to go down into Egypt. They have not even asked at my mouth. Why did they go to Egypt? They went down there to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. They're going asking for help. They've got God Almighty. They didn't ask of the Lord. They're going the wrong way. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh, God is still talking. And when he says it, he means it. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh, it's going to be your shame. Look to the world. Look to the world's ways. Try to be conformed to the world. You'll see what'll happen. The strength of Pharaoh is going to be shame. And the trust in the shadow of Egypt is going to bring confusion. Have you ever been confused about something? Thank God he says confusion's not of me. It's not of me. Doesn't mean maybe what you're hearing is confusion. Sometimes it is, but you may hear it, and by the time it gets to you, there's confusion. When I'm confused, I go to the Lord, my Father, and ask him, through the power of the Holy Spirit, reveal these things unto me. Therefore, because you trusted in the shadow of Egypt, you strengthened yourself through Egypt. You went to them for everything. Therefore, because of that, the Lord says, shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, the trust of the shadow of Egypt your confusion. And if you remember Romans chapter 1, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. What did he give them? A reprobate mind. They'll be so confused. And even that, I read just last night. I want you to think of this when people talk about homosexuality as far as the word of God. When Noah was told to replenish the earth, you're going to see that in Genesis 1, too. Go and replenish the earth. That means it was already there before. You're going to refill it. Noah, replenish the earth. Well, how's he going to do that if he takes a male, whatever animal you want that he took in the ark, take a male, and I'll bring you male. I'm going to take all the males. Just take him in there. Now, I want to see you go and reproduce and replenish the earth. It ain't going to happen. They're going in shame. They're going the way, and it's going to be brought to confusion. There are many who are marrying the same, a woman with woman, a man with man. They're marrying each other. They cannot replenish. God took something so beautiful. He said, let us create. Let us, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, let us make them in our own image. What kind of an image are people saying God made them into this? It's sad. But I want to know how they're going to replenish the earth, refill it. You cannot the same kind with the same kind. That's why God made a male and a female. So they kept going, but this is the part I want you to get. Oh, this is so good. They were all ashamed of a people that could not even profit them, nor be a help, nor profit, but a shame and a reproach. Go on down to verse 7. The Egyptians shall help in vain. That means no profit. To no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is just sit still. Stop trying to do everything. Sit in quietness and stillness. It's going to be your strength, his. Now go, write it before them in a table and a note in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. But watch what happens. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of God or the word of God. Which this is what, now take it as maybe the Lord has revealed, open your eyes to something and you're sharing. How would you like this? They're the ones who say to the rebellious, say to the seers, see not, stop. And to the prophets, prophesy not to us. Stop doing that. We don't want to hear this. Now watch the rebellion. Prophesy not unto us right things. We don't want to hear what you've got to say. If it's right, don't tell us. You're making me uncomfortable. I'm not going to go hear you any longer. I don't want you to prophesy to me. Don't tell me what visions you have. Don't tell me what you see. Okay? Prophesy not unto us right things. I can't. It's in Paul's gospel. I want you to speak things that are going to tickle my ear, make me feel good, make me see my worth, make me think I'm something. That's what I want to hear. I don't want to hear what God has to say. You know, a lot of people say, you know, well, God's word's going to have an effect. Sometimes people leave angry because it has an effect. His word has an effect. I don't want you to prophesy unto us right things. Here's what I want you to prophesy. This is what they tell them, the rebellious. I want you to speak to us smooth things. You ever heard that word before? Deceit. They want them to tell them smooth things and prophesy deceit. They want to hear what is going to match up to their desires, what they want to do. It's all wrong. It's smoother than butter. It'll just come out and they'll just, oh, yeah, that's good. Just like that pastor that Julie had talked to. If I preach those words, they're going to walk me out of that church. You know, that's a day of rejoicing. If you speak truth and you suffer for it, thank God. And we say those words, but I guarantee you, by the authority of God's word, if you speak truth, and you get escorted out a door, or you're told you can't do that anymore, you just lost your position, you no more because you didn't do what I said and do it how I, that is called getting in a system. We don't want to be part of a system. We're an organism. We're in Christ, and he has ordained that there be pastors and teachers and all these different gifts, and he's teaching each of us how to use them correctly. I love it when someone said, well, they did say, I don't know if I believe that, okay? Let me hear some smooth things. Say something deceitful. I'd rather hear that than you trying to tell me. Is that truly in the Word of God, that if someone's speaking in tongues in the church, let there be two, and let them hear the interpretation, and if not, then keep silent? Is that really in there? Yes, it is. It's in Corinthians. They needed to be corrected. Not to be mean to them, to show them God's order in the thing. What's going to profit the whole body? This is called someone is beginning to grow up if you hear the Word of God. And do what? You can't just sit there. You yield to what God is saying. I've been there. I've done it. I've heard the cooing of doves around the altar. And then there'll be loud stuff, loud, and it's out of order. It was when God subsided, the Spirit subsided, he was going to move. He said, be still and know that I'm God. God is about ready to do something. And we wait on the power of the Holy Spirit. Then maybe one speaks in tongues. Maybe he'll interpret it. Maybe he's praying and he speaks in tongues, but he interprets what he's saying. It's all in God's order and in his time. But people don't want to hear truth. I want to do it the way I want to do it. You just say smooth things, be deceit, get you out of the way. Get away. Turn aside. Out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Can you imagine these words? I never knew this was in here. That they didn't even want to hear right things. I had only seen it in Paul's gospel. And how they wanted things that would tickle their ears. Not correct them. But he teaches us in the time of correction and hearing God's word. He puts it all in order. And then when you're going through trials and tribulations or persecutions, no matter what it was, Paul was an example to every one of us, as so is Christ. But he followed Christ. He was an example to us showing, this is so you know everything. My life has been a testimony, not of just the words I speak, but as these bad things were happening to me, God worked it in the heart and gave peace in the midst of the storm. Is he in the midst of your storm? Are we listening to him? Because when we do, we're going to grow in God's grace. You'll stop looking at the storm and turn your eyes on him. And you're going to see something far greater, and you're going to become the greatest worshiper. Thankfulness of God in all things. I don't know how to worship God when I'm being persecuted. I don't know how to worship God when I have this thorn in my flesh. I don't know how to thank God for all. He teaches you that. By what? Change your mind and say, I want to hear what you have to say, Lord. I need you to search my heart. No, it's not easy. But we're not on the easy road. This is called the narrow way. Few be that find it. You see, few be that find it because the others are satisfied and they're content with all this stuff. We have to come the narrow way. You can't come the narrow way unless God enables you. He gives you the grace. He says, it's this way. Walk ye in it. And that's where, in that same chapter, because I've already gone over here and this is where we're going to go. I was so excited, and I'm sorry. Oh, I'm not really sorry, because I think the Word of God will plant it deeper in your heart. We were in Bible class, and I received a revelation. And as I got this revelation, I couldn't even sit still. I wanted to just, and I go, Lord, just work it. Work it in my heart. I won't say nothing. I don't need to tell them unless you tell me. It's probably for Sunday, Lord. That's what I always say. Oh, it's probably for Sunday, Lord. Well, let's get into 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And hopefully we can get this. I believe. I just love it. It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. That's not necessary. I will. Now notice what Paul says. I will. I will come to visions. How did he know that? And revelations of the Lord. He said, I'm going to get revelations. I'm going to continue because God says man has not heard, he hasn't seen nor heard the things that God has prepared for the hearts of them that love him. And he wants us to know how to go through the trials, the tribulation, the persecution. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I'm going to reveal it through the power of the Holy Ghost. I knew a man, and he was in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Now get this. I cannot tell, but God knoweth. I don't think everybody who went through this, or even if you have, will you even know when you have this experience in your life? Has God ever had the ability to take you above and let you see that it's a lie? You may never be able to tell a lot of people, I messed up. I told somebody about an experience I had, and it was amazing grace. And I needed it. I was totally in distress. But God. They said, if God showed you that, don't you think he'd show me that? I just told you. Now, whether you experience it, that is not in my hands. That's in his hands. But when he begins to speak, you know the power of God's word. And it changed the circumstance. It was still the same, but it changed the circumstance in my heart. I had peace. I had rejoicing. I said, it's a lie. You're lying to me. And I was rejoicing in the Lord and the power of the Holy Ghost, the dunamis, the dynamite to blow you out of your place. God knoweth such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and he heard something. Unspeakable words. How could I ever say that? Which it is not lawful for a man to utter. For a man to utter. What about in the spirit? We'll go on. Of such a one will I glory. Yet of myself, I will not glory. We are to glory in the Lord and the Lord alone. I will not glory. But something different in my infirmities. Okay? For though I would desire to glory, I should not be a fool. I will say the truth, and I forbear, lest any man should think me above that which he seeth me. Okay? Now this is where we're going to cut it up and just look into this and see the yummy in these verses. There's so much here. I'm going to tell the truth. And I don't want man to think me above what he seeth or he hears of me. Boy, I want him to hear the grace of God. Well, God knows how to do that. So here we go. And lest I should be exalted above measure. Above the measure. Whatever measure I've given you. Remember 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your cares upon him, he will care for you. Okay, so if you're there, it also says he will exalt you in due time. That's not now. Lest I should be exalted above measure. Why? And when we're exalted above measure, and it's because of these revelations, remember, we don't want to be raised up in pride. Look at me. Look how much I know. It gets your eyes on the person instead of the power of the Holy Spirit and God who's raised us up. Lest I should be exalted. And that means lifted up. In a measure through what? He had been given an abundance of revelation. God allowed him, God gave him through the power of the Holy Spirit many revelations. And he already told you in the beginning, and I'm going to get more revelations. I will have visions. But he's trying, he wants to glorify the Lord, okay? You cannot do it in yourself. To bring glory to the Lord, you're going to have to be a humble vessel, and you're going to have to be yielded. And even in your trials and your tribulation, God allowed that tribulation. God gave you more patience. God gave you experience through it. God showed you there was more hope. There's hope in that situation. He did it so you'll grow up in him to glorify him, to magnify his grace. He said, I forbear. I don't want him to see me above that which he seeth me and he beareth of me. Lest I should be lifted up through the measure, through the abundance of the revelations that I was given. You have to put yourself there. Paul put himself there. There was given something else. God is such a giver. God allows and he knows exactly. Remember Job? He put the hedge down. He said, if I don't say you can do it, you're not touching the man. You're not touching that woman. They are mine. I bought them with the price. But if God has a plan and a purpose for our lives, he's teaching us, how can I give thanks in all things? How can I get through this, Lord? How can I do this? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He gave me an abundance of revelations. And I like revelation when I see that word because the Lord, I looked that up one time. It was the unveiling. It's an unveiling of truth. It's unveiled. Take the veil off and you can see it. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Oh, wait, Lord. I like the abundance of revelation, but I don't like the thorn. No, it was given to me a thorn in the flesh, so you won't be exalted above measure. Lift yourself up. There's a thorn given to you, and it's in the flesh. The messenger of Satan. I'm not wrestling against flesh and blood. I'm wrestling against the power of the devil and all these spiritual wickedness in high places, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. And I thought I wrote that down, buffet, but I get so excited in this stuff, I can't hardly remember. Oh, buffet. It was given to buffet me, to strike at me, put their fist up at me, treat violently, harassment, persecutions, trials. Romans 8. But Paul learned something, right? He was in Romans 7. But when he gets to Romans 8, when he goes, oh, thank God, it's through Christ Jesus, my Lord. When he gets over to get into Romans 8, he's going, there is therefore now no condemnation, no more judgment to me, because I am in Christ. He's my deliverer. He's the one that's going to take me through everything. This thing that was given to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Again, we don't have to worry about I hate when people say, well, I got to be careful because I don't want to be proud and say the wrong thing. You're working it. That's works. He already has the whole thing planned out. We have thorn after thorn. This is not a one-time thing. This is a thorn in the flesh that keeps you humble before God because of these revelations. You're going to get more, but you need to know you're going to have more trials. But he's teaching you, how can I rejoice in this? I want to thank you, Lord. I want to have a right spirit. I want to hear the right things. For this thing, what? This thorn that was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, and for the reason, this thing, you see what these things can do? I besought the Lord. I didn't just go to him once. Boy, I'm so weak. I'm so low. I can't do it. He said, I went 3 times to the Lord. How often do we go to the Lord? 3 times I sought the Lord that it might depart from me. And God sees our heart. I know he saw Paul's heart. Oh, make it depart from me, Lord. And he said unto me, here he goes. He's going to talk. Do you see a need of hearing God's voice, hearing the word of God? There's not going to be a change in attitude in your heart unless you hear his word. I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me, and he said unto me, my grace, and Gene did a whole study on grace. It's not just divine favor, it's power, it's so many things. My grace is sufficient for thee. Now, do you believe me, Paul? God is talking. The Lord said, my grace, God's grace. He said, it is sufficient. It is sufficient for thee. And my strength. So see, it's my grace, my strength in whatever you're going through. Everybody is going through something, okay? I've got a trial that I'm going through. But oh, God, show me how to glorify and magnify the grace of God, not me. He said, Penny, or I always put my name there. Penny, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength, when you have no strength at all. It's made perfect. I'll make you complete. I'll finish the work in practicality in your life. It's already a finished work, but I'm bringing you into practicality of the gospel. I want the power that I gave you, my grace, my strength. It will make you perfect, complete you, finish it, do it all. In weakness. I have to be weak. You're going to learn to glory in that. You're going to glory in that because I got more to give you. I'm not just allowing this to happen. I'm right here with you. The same way in the days of creation. He didn't just do one thing. He kept doing it. But he's talking. He said it. He says it. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, okay, I looked up, most gladly, okay, in the Greek, it means when I most gladly, with the highest degree of pleasure, the highest degree of joy and delight. It's not just contentment. This is intense contentment. It is a content attitude. God's word can bring us. I have learned in whatever state I am in to be therewith content. Therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Jean taught us last week, take my yoke upon you, learn of me. Seek me, you'll find me. You're gonna find rest for your souls. You're gonna find what you're, everyone is seeking. They're looking for deliverance. They're looking for contentment. They're looking for right attitudes. There's only one way to get it. I will therefore, because of this, grace is gonna be there. My strength is made perfect in weakness, most gladly then. He gives you the highest joy to do it. He changed your attitude. Therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And that power is the power of the resurrection life, the power of the Holy Ghost. That's that dunamis. That's that dynamite that wants to work in your life. He's changing us. From glory to glory. But I want that power of Christ may rest upon me. Enter into my rest. Therefore, because of what we just read, the grace is there, it's sufficient, my strength made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Therefore, because of all that we just said, he keeps going. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, not because of it. He's in the midst of our storm. He's in the valley we walk through. Amen. He's my deliverer. He's my comfort. He's my staff, my stay. He's my all in all. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, if there's things I need to see me through. I take pleasure in it because I know he's going to provide what's needed. He will. But we have to hear God's word and know it in our heart. In persecutions, you're going to be persecuted. If they persecuted him, are you better than the Lord? You're going to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. In distresses, for Christ's sake. This is for Christ's sake. When these things begin to happen, we're going to magnify the grace of God. We're going to show him anyone and anything that would come against his own people. Magnify the grace with me. Let us exalt his name together. Let's exalt him. For when we are, and or I, this is my experience, this is Paul's experience, when I am weak, then am I strong. He doesn't leave you in the weak state. He wants to bring your state up to your standing, just like Timothy. He cared for your state to bring it up to your standing. A lot of people think there's nothing to do or anything. There's a work going on. We are his masterpiece. We're his workmanship. He's doing the work, and he is magnifying his grace to each one of us. How much grace are we showing to others? Let your light shine, true light. Let true light, true grace be magnified. And it's when you didn't deserve it, didn't know how to get it. Do you know how many people don't, they want their trials to stop, but they don't even know this. They don't even know about him. They don't know the truth. So ask God for every opportunity to let you share what he's given, just like Paul. All his revelations, he said, you thank God because he's allowed this to go forth. Magnify the gospel. It's good news. it will lift you up.